Father, as we come now before your word, we ask that the message of Easter, the reality of Easter, would transform us. We pray that you'd work powerfully today through your Holy Spirit for the glory of your Son in our lives. Amen. Well, friends, today, what is on offer to you at Easter? Well, what is on offer is personal transformation. That is what God is offering you. There's no greater example of transformation than a dead man rising to eternal life, is there? There's no greater evidence that God is in the business of transformation than seeing him raise his son from the dead. Transformation is a big issue, I think, for us. I personally would like to be a better father, a better dad for my kids. I want to be a better son to my parents. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better person. I want to be a better man. I want to be transformed. And don't you? I think we all have a deep desire and we all require transformation personally. And it's funny how gripping anything is that has a before and after shot or a TV show that has a before and after. So I take it that's why people like watching The Block. I've never watched The Block. But, you know, they take a dump of a house and they transform it and they're emphasising the transformation that these people have done. Or if you're a bit more highbrow and you watch the ABC, you're watching Grand Designs where they get this old farm villa and the people in that show always cry poor, but they've got so much money and they transform it into some architectural masterpiece. Or closer to home, there's obviously TV shows like Biggest Loser. What is The Biggest Loser about? Why do people love The Biggest Loser? Because it's about transformation. And they even video it. If you've ever watched the finale of Biggest Loser, they have the old person walking down the catwalk and they use computers to juxtapose it with the new person. It's all about transformation. How much have they been transformed? And they always talk in those shows more than just about kilos. It's always about how my life and my heart has changed or something like that. Admittedly, most of us would like to shed a few kilos or to have better bodies or something like that. We'd like to be physically transformed, but our transformation needs run deeper than that. Many of us want, if we admit it, if we're humble enough, in our quiet moments, we would admit that we need some level of character, personality or character transformation. We don't like the way we impact people. Our character flaws impact others negatively. Some of us want action transformation, behavioural transformation. So we have some bad habits, can't break them. Behaviours that just keep repeating themselves in our lives. You know, we need to change, we need to be transformed. And some of us, on top of all that, would acknowledge that we need a level of spiritual transformation, that we, even as Christians, we've lost the passion we had for Lord Jesus, lost the fire, and you know, we want to pray like we used to pray, or we're looking on the outside of all these other passionate Christians and we want to be like them. We want to be transformed spiritually in the heart. Now, we saw 2 days ago on Good Friday how in the book of Isaiah there's a prophecy where God predicts in advance 800 years quite explicitly the death of one called the servant of God, who is clearly Jesus. And it's clearly God supernaturally showing the Easter way ahead of time as they happened in history. And Isaiah says that the servant is the great substitute. He steps into our place. He wears our shoes. He takes our punishment. And so I want to put it to you today, friends, that of all the systems of personal transformation that are out there, that are on the market, and so many of them want your money, of all the systems out there, Jesus is the one who can transform. That he alone is unique because of he alone offers a death in your place. Anyone offered you that? And he alone offers a resurrection also for you. No one else in human history has achieved what Jesus has achieved as Isaiah foretold in his death and resurrection. Now, one of the interesting things in Isaiah 53 is that it's not just about the battering of Jesus and the death of the servant. it also anticipates a resurrection, a lifting up. And that was what the reading was. I'll just give you some of the highlights. Chapter 52, verse 13, God says, "See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted." So from the very beginning of this prophecy, what is on view is that the servant will be exalted in this. The picture is one of saying Jesus is not your scapegoat. He's not someone that you put the blame on and get it off you and he dies for you and then you just forget him. You know, that's what a scapegoat is. You sort of send it away. No, Jesus will die for us and then he'll be lifted up as king. He'll be lifted up as your new Lord, as your Redeemer. By the way, when Christians are talking about resurrection, please don't think we mean what happens in hospitals when people are clinically dead for 10 minutes and they're brought back to life and that kind of thing. It's not a resuscitation in the Bible. The idea is that Jesus was really dead and the Romans are like jabbing him and that they know how to check the people are dead. And he's dead 3 days and God actually, supernaturally, physically transforms him to be alive again. And it's not just a party trick. It's not just dead, alive. What actually happens is, Isaiah says, in the resurrection, he is exalted and lifted up. It's as if Jesus was becoming king. He is becoming king. He's enthroned in the resurrection. He is transformed from being a suffering servant to the king of the universe. That's a big transformation. He's the Lord, he's the Redeemer of the whole universe. Now, the transformation is all the more glorious because of how ugly the death was, how battered he was. And so Isaiah talks about his appearance. There were many who were appalled at him, verse 14. His appearance was so disfigured. He was so physically, spiritually beaten up beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So, he will sprinkle many nations. That is, he will redeem many nations. He will surprise and rescue millions, billions of people, this disfigured man. And kings will shut their mouths because of him. Kings who think they're above him will realize they're below him. For what they were told, they were not told, they will see. What they have not heard, they will understand. Jesus is not a scapegoat, he's the victorious king. That his death was a tragic evil, but in the plan of God, it brings about an infinite good. That is the power of God to transform. And any scars he carries are now marks of his glory. So this is telling us a very good insight into how God transforms. God works through suffering. God works through pain. It was true in Isaiah's day, God had to refine his people. They were a mess. How did God refine Judah in the 8th century before Christ? Well, he kicked them out of the country, burnt everything down, they lost everything, and then he brought them back in weakness. And that was his way, through suffering, to transform. And that is how God transformed his son, through his suffering, made him the king of the universe. And that is how he will transform you and me. So this is my second point. The servant is glorified and lifted up in Isaiah. Jesus is now king of the universe. And now we are drawn in with him. We are transformed in his death and resurrection. You see, God's will was that he would be crushed and then prosper. And somehow in him, we are justified. God says, by his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many. That is, will make people righteous. He will change people. He will transform people. He will bear their iniquities. Jesus will be given, in verse 12, a portion among the great. He will divide his spoils with the strong. That is, Jesus, as risen king, now can do stuff for us. He can transform us through his death and resurrection. The one who was transformed is now the one who transforms others. That is why Jesus is the key to our lives. He's the key to us being changed. He's the only one who's bore our sin. He's the only one who can make intercession for us, which Isaiah says. Jesus, the servant of God, is now central in the economy of the universe because of his death. He is the one who's the transformer because he was transformed. Now, how does this play out in our lives? How will this actually make me a better man? How will this make you a better person? How will this transform you? Well, let me give some examples of how Easter impacts our lives. And this is one of many, really, that you could go to the whole Bible to pick up these. One way this works is like this. Whenever you are drawn into your losing your temper or whatever character trait you hate, you break out into a negative behavior or an ungodly activity, you're always tempted to think, let that define you. You're always tempted to think, this temptation owns me and I'm owned by it. But at that point, you have to remind yourself, no, I belong to Christ who died and rose for me. Those bad behaviors aren't who I am anymore. I'm not going to be defined by my failures and by my temptations. I'm not going to continue in them. I died with Christ and I rose with him to new life. And you have to learn how to appropriate your Easter identity. My life is with Christ who died and is risen forever. And this takes time, but as you learn to take on your Easter identity, as we together take on our Easter people identity, then transformation does happen. Another way Easter changes or transforms is that it gives us a new master. The lifted up one is clearly our new master. Jesus, if he's king of the universe, he's the one we serve, worship, trust, love, obey, hope in, and therefore our master is not sin. Our master is not ungodliness. Your master is not pornography. Your master is not sin. Your master is not your failures of the past. Your master is the good and glorious Lord Jesus who shares his spoils with his people. You know, he is your master. And so your transformation there is dependent on you looking at him all the time. Don't look at your mistakes. Don't look at your sins all the time. Look at Jesus. Look at where he is. Look at how he was transformed. And as you look at him, you'll be changed to be like him. And a final example of how Easter changes and transforms us as people, makes us change people. As we suffer, we're given a power to persevere and endure that others don't have. We don't quit the Christian life because the suffering is unbearable. We look at Jesus' suffering and we say, if God could transform him through that, we trust that you will transform us through the burdens we bear. And I know it's easy when we are suffering, especially if it's to do with being a Christian or being obeying the Bible or some area of godliness where others are hanging it on us for trying to be godly. You know, we must not shortcut at that point and cut corners. We remember that Jesus was transformed by sticking to the center of the road, not going to the right, not going to the left. He just obeyed the Father and he was transformed. And so we trust, as hard as it is, God will carry us through and we will be transformed through suffering. So friends, this is the Easter message. The servant is disfigured and marred and dies in your place. He bears your sin and then he's lifted, exalted, raised, made great, given spoils, given the victory over nations. That is everything in Isaiah. And here we are today, 2,000 years later, his Easter people. So this Easter day, can I encourage you, will you put yourself again under Jesus, under his transforming work? You can't just sort of dip into Jesus. You can't just dip in and out. You're either in Christ or you're not in him. You know what I mean? It really is all or nothing. You're either in his hands, his powerful, scarred, transforming hands, or you're in your own hands. But please put yourself in Jesus' hands. Let your identity be defined by what he's done. Is who you are an Easter person? That's what you want to ask today. Can you say, I have died and I've risen with Christ. Claim it today. Ask for it today. And is your master now clearly Jesus? Can people see that you serve one master and it's Jesus? You know, say to yourself, the transformed one is now my master and he's transforming me. He's transforming me. And as you suffer, remember and say, as God transformed his son, he will transform me in his son. Well, let's pray that God would transform us. Let's give our lives over to him. Lord Jesus, thank you for your victory, which is also our victory. Thank you that when you died, we died to sin with you, and that when you rose, we rose to be born again with you. Lord Jesus, thank you for the powerful truth of Easter, that you are stronger and that our sin truly is broken. And please transform us day by day. Help us to keep our eyes on you, Jesus, and help us to trust you in our suffering. Amen.